Do you remember that one kid in school or that one person at work that somehow managed to get in, stir the pot, get all kinds of drama going, but just fade into the background and come away unscathed from the whole thing, right? It's the kid who catches you in the hallway and says, "I can't believe what they're tweeting about you, dude," and you're not responding. "You're a better man than I am." "Yeah, really," right? It's the guy who comes up to you and says, "Wow, you're still here after last week? Well, good for you," right? And then you just stand back and watch the drama unfold. That's the picture that St. Paul is painting for us of the devil and what he does. You see, he's the real enemy, and he comes in and he stirs the pot, and he gets things going so that we start going after one another, and then he just retreats to the background and lets us do all of his dirty work. This week, we begin a new series of messages called The Enemy's Toolbox. The enemy is real, and the enemy is very active in our world today, and he's got a whole slew of tools that he can pull out, that he can use to divide us and to pull us away from God. Today, Paul reminds us that our enemy is a spiritual enemy, and we are waging a spiritual battle. And our enemy is the master of misdirection, of confusing us and pointing us someplace else where the trouble is supposed to be, or looking at anyone else as the enemy besides him. Listen to what St. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God." Why? "That you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." In other words, the tactics of the devil, the strategies of the devil. He's going to be smart about this. He's not going to be casual about it. So the schemes of the devil, well, what's one of the schemes? "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, the present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil." Now, when it talks about the rulers and it talks about authorities, we're not talking about the government. We're not talking about earthly authorities here. He says, see, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's what makes it so difficult. You see, it's easy to identify the enemy that we can see. If we can identify the enemy as a person, or even if we can identify the enemy as a group, well, that we can see and it's tangible. If you will, we can wrestle them to the ground. But spiritual forces? How do you wrap your mind around that? And how do you wrestle that to the ground? I mean, if the devil truly was a guy dressed in red with a pitchfork, okay, that's the enemy, I got it. But he's too smart for that. It's the schemes of the devil. It's the tactics of the devil. What are the techniques that he's going to use to pull us away from God and to have us pitted against one another? Well, that's what he does. He pits us against one another. He's the one that comes in, causes all kinds of trouble, and then pretty soon we're warring and fighting with one another, and he just steps to the back and lets us do all of the dirty work. Now, I don't know if this is a good news, but it's nothing new. He's been doing it for a long time. In fact, Paul talked to the church at Galatia about this very problem. So if you take a look at Galatians chapter 5, it says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You should love your neighbor as yourself." So he sets it up this way, quoting Jesus, the golden rule, love your neighbor as yourself. "But if we bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." If we bite and devour one another. Are we not biting and devouring one another? I don't even want to turn on the television set. It's ad after ad after ad, and it's on all sides. Biting and devouring one another. I don't want to read the newspaper. I don't want to look at Facebook. Biting and devouring one another. It's misdirection. We've entered into what I'm going to call extremism. And the extremism is that if you're not in my camp, then you're the enemy. Whatever that camp might be. Maybe the camp is political. Maybe the camp is ethnic. Maybe the camp is even geographic. Or maybe the camp is denominational. Or maybe the camp is philosophical thought. Whatever your camp is, if you're not in my camp, then you're the enemy. You see, civility is packed up and left the building. It's gone. Gone are the days where we can respectfully disagree with one another. You see, it seems to me before we could say, I believe that I am right, and I believe that you are wrong. I think that has changed to, I'm right, you're evil. And if that's where we've gotten to, where I'm right and you're evil and you're the enemy, then I feel completely justified to hurl insults, vulgarities, anything I can do to demonize you. Meanwhile, the real enemy, he's sipping lemonade, watching, as we bite and devour one another. Friends, I'm not saying we have to all hold hands and sing Kumbaya. But do we really need to bite and devour one another and miss who the real enemy is? Because the real enemy is the devil. That's the real enemy. And he, in his misdirection and in his schemes, will do everything possible to come out of the limelight and to make believe that anyone or any group other than him is the true enemy. So we've got to identify the enemy and realize this is a spiritual enemy, which means we have a spiritual battle on our hands. It's a spiritual battle. It's not of flesh and blood, because we have a spiritual enemy. So St. Paul then walks through. So how do we go about this spiritual battle? So he uses as an illustration that of a Roman soldier putting on his armor. Now, we're not going to get into the armor of God. We'll save that for another time. But if you look at that, there are three principles that I believe that St. Paul pulls out, that this is how we engage in spiritual battle. The first one is that we stand firm. Stand firm. So if he's got this picture of a Roman soldier, all the people in Ephesus, his day, they would recognize this, because a Roman soldier was the elite fighting machine, because Rome was controlling the known world at that time. And Roman soldiers do not retreat. They do not retreat. They hold their ground. In fact, they were even fitted with special shoes that had spikes. We'd call them cleats today, to make sure that they could hold the line, they could hold their ground. So he says, we have to stand firm against the enemy. But how do we stand firm against such an enemy? Well, he began this whole section by telling us how we stand firm. Verse 10, finally, so he's kind of concluding his letter here, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Our strength is in God, and our strength is in his might. And what his power and might really is the fact that he has already defeated the devil. See, we still got battles going on, but the fact of the matter is the devil is a defeated enemy. He doesn't want us to know that, doesn't want us to think about that. But Jesus destroyed the devil on the cross. When Jesus went to Calvary, there, my friends, he paid for the sins of the whole world. The people you like, the people you don't like, the people you agree with, the people you disagree with, the people that are right, the people that are wrong. He died for the sins of all of mankind for all time. And when he breathed his last, the payment was made. And when he rose 3 days later, he declared a victory. And his victory indeed was over sin, that those who believe in him, they are forgiven, they are free, restored to the Father, but also a victory over the devil. We can stand strong, we can have perseverance, if we know the battle's already won. We know the outcome. So the first part about a spiritual battle is confidence in standing firm. And then you stand ready. You stand ready at any time, at any moment, to go into battle, to fight the enemy, because probably when you least expect it, that's when he's going to try and infiltrate and divide us. So St. Paul says this, if we go back to 5 or 6, verse 14. He says, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth." Now, believe it or not, I actually like the King James Version better because I think it captures it. The problem is that you'll snicker at it. The King James says, "Gird your loins with truth." That's the literal translation. That's because that's a phrase that is something that they would recognize. What it really means is to be ready, right? To be ready, because this is what girding your loins was all about, right? Back in those days, right, they wore long robes, right? So they had the tunics on, right? You can't run in one of those. Trust me, at the traditional services, I wear robes. I can't run in them. I've tried, right? You can't run in that, right? So that means if you're going to get ready for battle, you have to bunch up the cloth and you tie it around your waist. That's why ESV says the belt of truth, right? But to gird up your loins means you pull it up so that now you're able to maneuver, you're ready for battle. The interesting part here is what makes us ready for battle? The truth. The truth. And there's only one source of truth, and that's the Word of God. So we've got to be ready with the Word of God. We've got to be ready with our source of truth. Look to Jesus when he's going toe-to-toe with the devil in the wilderness. What does he do? As each attack comes, where does he reach for? He reaches into the Scriptures. He gets into the Word of God, the truth, and the devil is defenseless. He can do nothing besides retreat and come back again. We have to be ready with the Word of God. We have to be ready with the truth. And then we have to be ready to speak the truth. But we speak the truth in love. In love and in care for the other person. This is a theme for Paul in his letter to the Ephesians. If you go back to chapter 4, he talks about being tossed around by the waves and all the discontent that is there. He says, speak the truth in love. You don't speak the truth to spite. You don't speak the truth to make him mad, to get even with him. You speak the truth in love. And then a little bit later on in that same chapter, he elaborates on that. So verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. You can be passionate about your position. You can feel strongly about your opinion. You can even get to the point of being angry about it, but not anger that slips over to sin where you're making the person to be the enemy. He says, otherwise, you give an opportunity to the devil. You give him a foothold with you. So we speak the truth in love, but we speak it out of genuine concern. We're going to have disagreements. This side of heaven, we're going to have different opinions on things. Can we get back to being able to speak and to disagree with respect and to listen to what the other person has to say? There are times when someone is wrong because we have the Word of God that says that they are wrong. But we speak the truth not to prove them wrong, because we want to reveal the truth of God's Word to them. It's all in our attitude and where we begin from. Speaking the truth in love. We stand ready with the Word of God and ready to speak the truth, but to speak it in love. And then we stand together. We are the body of Christ, and we stand together with the fellow members of the body of Christ. St. Paul put it this way. So he's finishing up the whole thing. He says, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. All the saints. We stand together. Going back to the illustration of the Roman army, So the Roman army, they would stand firm, they would stand ready, and they all stood together. And when the Roman army stood together in a line, they were invincible. That's what made them so strong. With their shields in front of them, not moving, shoulder to shoulder, they were invincible. My friends, if we stand together in Christ, we are invincible to the enemy. The final victory is ours. We can persevere and we can fight the battle, but we pray for one another, we support one another, we talk with one another, we respect one another, we love our neighbor as we love ourselves, but we stand together because there is an enemy out there and he is real. But it is a spiritual enemy, and this is a spiritual battle. But we know the final victory is ours. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you shower us with your Holy Spirit so that we could stand ready for battle, that we would stand firm, that we'd speak the truth in love, and that we would be united in you so that we could fend off the devil and all of his work. In Jesus' name, amen.